Today's episode of Market Talk is brought to you by GrowMark FS. Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least. But there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next. And a good afternoon. Welcome into Market Talk for this Thursday, September 23rd. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, markettalkag.com. That's our home on the web. markettalkag.com. That's where you can find us. All the latest market news, ag news, and more. Our streaming sources, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, everything is there. Our social media links, find it all at markettalkag.com. Wheat was the story today, leading grain markets mostly higher. Saw some good strength in hogs as well. Cattle were all right. Overall, not a bad Thursday. Let's talk about it. Let's bring in our good friend Brian Doherty with Total Farm Marketing here this afternoon. And Brian, good afternoon to you, sir. And, you know, looking at this market trade overall, not a bad day today. Your initial thoughts after the close here today?
Yeah, great observation, because when you compare today to the way the week started, it's a pretty uplifting move right now. Let me give you an example. As I look just at quotes now, I've got the Dow Jones up over 550 points. And that got rattled really hard early on in the week on the news of this Evergrande. Not Evinrude. Let's score that. You know, the coming apart more or less at the seams in China, $300 billion debt, you know, that seemed to create some uncertainty. And since there's been, I guess, talk of negotiated interest rates or interest payments and things. So we'll see, or if they're too big to fail and maybe the Chinese government steps in and shores this up. But they've got their ties in a lot of areas. So they, you know, from streaming to real estate to livestock. So the market was concerned. Now we're moving. The big winner, as you said, wheat. A couple of things there. One, you've got a technical picture that all of a sudden looks much brighter. We pushed through some moving averages today, short covering. You've also got strength coming from continued concerns about Russian wheat exports. Just what might that look like? And then, as you mentioned, the dollar's off today. And that probably added to some of the strength there in wheat to give it double-digit gains. But it was across the board. Solid gains of corn, 3 to 4 cents, right in the heart of the startup of not the kind of the push into harvest right now, and beans up a couple of cents. Livestock was a pretty big winner, particularly the hog market, where I'm going to say news, we would call it news, or China looks like they're going to reduce or limit the size of their hog sow herd to 41 million. Well, that's a little less than maybe what was projected before. It's still a lot of hogs. Now we're trying to figure out, well, how many pigs per litter, you know, twice a year. That's 600 to 800 million hogs, most likely. That's a lot of feed usage. So reading some articles today and researching a little more, you know, it just doesn't look like there's a lot of room for China not to be buying U.S. corn this year. So there's been some concern that with their record crop, but it looks like they're still going to need 23, 24, 25 million metric tons of corn.
Well, let's break things down a little bit, and I want to kind of stay on the wheat train, but this is going to spill over to quarter beans too. You know, we look at weather, we look at harvest for quarter beans, and we look at planting for winter wheat, and I know that there's some estimates out there from the USDA, 38% of the winter wheat areas facing some level of drought, and you flip that script, and we have all this dry weather giving us time for harvest, you know, maybe a little earlier than normal for quarter beans in many areas. So it almost seems like a double-edged sword, kind of a two-sided coin there, the way the weather is, some problems for winter wheat planting, but it's giving us a good shot at getting some harvest done in a very timely manner. So it's kind of a two-sided coin there, isn't it, Brian?
Well, it is, but it's really in different markets, because right now the big key is for that wheat market to get that in timely. And talking to some producers, it's just too dry. They just can't plant. So I don't really know how deep that ramification runs or not, but I like to sometimes, if you don't, you know, you're looking at different variables, I would just classify it as less than ideal. And so when you have less than ideal and you've got continued dry weather concerns elsewhere, supply issues elsewhere, it's just one of those things that can quickly help propel a market. And so you're seeing the wheat market propel. And it was a good move today. Chicago December wheat, 12 higher, a little more than 12 higher, 717, best price now in about week and a half, 2 weeks. More importantly, sliced through the 100-day a couple of days ago, looked weak, came right back, roared through the 21-day moving average. So the wheat, I think, is finding some weather and supply support. On the other hand, you got to be somewhat impressed with corn yesterday and again today to move higher when you've got really a great harvest forecast for most of the nation. There's going to be a lot of push. And results, though, I would tell you, you know, some areas of the country, we've talked to producers in the southern Illinois, Indiana region, they seem to be coming in really well. Other spots, not so well. Tar spot issues, quick dry down, or tar spot that maybe led to something else, other diseases. My example is in Wisconsin. I took a drive last weekend, drive past one field, it's green, starting to turn brown. Next field is totally brown, looks like it's mid-October. So I don't know if it died early, I don't know if it's tar spot, lack of fungicide, but you got to think, gosh, on you know, basically the second week, maybe the beginning of the third week in September, that crop is way ahead of maturity. You got to think it's going to affect the test weight.
And that's a great point you brought up, and I think that's something that we're all kind of very curious about here. And I think more of that might be reflected in the October WASDE report, possibly, not necessarily quarterly grain stocks next Thursday, but just watching some of this crop and some of these yield estimates come in, or well, I shouldn't say estimates, some of these yield results come in. And I agree with you. I'm hearing from guys and gals that some folks who are really impressed, really happy. And then there's some folks who are kind of like, this wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be back end of July, early August. And I think it feels like the market is maybe chopping around a little bit here for quarter beans until we get more yield results in, and also maybe chopping around and position squaring ahead of next Thursday's quarterly grain stocks. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's probably the likeliest scenario. So if corn prices gravitate upward here, you're going to probably run into instances where farmers are seeing really good yield and may not have the storage space. So you probably get some of that spillover selling. And those who've been, you know, sort of remiss that they didn't make some sales, all of a sudden we're at 530. We're not at 497 where we were on September 10th. So you'll probably see some of those sales. But as a whole, I got to think that any kind of price setback is going to be met with very limited farmer selling, because one, farmers had 5 months in a row where December corn traded above 550. So it's unlikely that if they didn't make sales then, they're all of a sudden going to just decide to make a ton of sales. Two, we're not getting, at least on the early harvests across the board, wow, this crop is better than expected. So if that trend continues, but more importantly, and maybe kind of the, you know, backdrop to a 4 cent gain in these 22 corn today is just these high fertilizer costs, a need to lock in fertilizer costs, or, you know, we've talked to producers that, hey, my guy says I need to lock it in. Otherwise I might not even get any. That's kind of scary at this time of the year to hear that. So I don't know if that's, where there's smoke, there's fire, but I don't know in September if that's a real concern or not, but it's certainly definitely weighing on the minds of farmers. So I think that helps provide support. So ultimately, we probably do trade in a range between $5 and $5.50 in December until we get more information on our belt, which will come in the form, as you said, the quarterly stocks report. And then we'll have another report in October, supply and demand report. But more importantly, we're going to have in the next 30 days, we're going to have a lot of information on let's say the theme or the trend of harvest, especially with soybeans and then corn, those two, obviously those two in particular.
Well, again, Brian Doherty, our guest today here on the show. Coming up next, I'm going to talk to Brian about whether or not he thinks the lows are in for our grain trade here as we get into the heart of harvest season. We're also going to take a look at that livestock market with hogs having an impressive day as well. That's coming up next as we continue with more on Market Talk, back right after this.
Trains are everywhere. You should always expect one, even on private property. Only cross tracks at designated crossings that fit your equipment. If you don't fit, don't commit. Whenever you're operating, secure your load, raise your equipment, and avoid getting stuck or causing damage. Minimize distractions. Remember, noisy equipment drowns out the sound of a train. Unless you're crossing, always keep a safe distance from train tracks. Look, listen, live. For more info, go to oli.org.
As harvest begins, the American Seed Trade Association reminds farmers to be diligent in taking the proper precautions to ensure treated seed does not enter the domestic or export grain supply. When properly handled, seed treatments are an effective agronomic tool that provides seeds the necessary protection for a strong, healthy start. Completely remove all treated seed left in containers and equipment used to handle harvested grain and dispose of it properly. Always be careful to follow state and federal guidelines for proper handling, storage, and disposal of treated seed. For more information, visit seed-treatment-guide.com or contact your seed dealer.
Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least. But there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next. And welcome back to Market Talk here on this Thursday, September 23rd. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Brian Doherty with Total Farm Marketing, our guest today here on the show. Brian, I hate to put you on the spot here, but I've been talking with a few other folks and I've been asking them, and I want to get your thoughts. Do you think the lows are in here at this time frame as we get into the heart of harvest?
You know, I think that to make that sort of bold prediction, that would be, you know, kind of akin to getting over your skis a little too far here on September 23rd. There's a however. We had a kind of what I'm going to call heavy report on September 10th. So with that heavy report, corn prices dipped under the 200-day moving average, the first time they've done that in, well, 200 days. Actually, you can go back further. They came right back. So they posted that day what's called a bullish key reversal, which is a much wider trading range than the previous day, finished higher, and then they saw follow-through buying. So they went from 497 to 538, and they recently dropped back here, and now they picked up a little steam and were trading right at about 530. So if we look back, if we don't get, you know, if the market doesn't have to battle some sort of surprisingly negative report at the end of the month, I think we might look back and say, you know, that was the signal. That was the low. The market had negative news and it turned positive on negative news. There isn't an appetite to sell corn under $5 by producers.
Let's flip over to livestock, Brian, and we alluded to this at the open. Both hogs and cattle had a good day. Hogs more so than cattle had a really good day. And I know we have a couple different reports coming up on Friday. We have the hogs and pigs report, cattle on feed coming as well. And it seems like the trade is anticipating friendly reports for both. But hogs, again, were the winner today. A lot of strength there. What did you see in that hog market that really caused it to move higher here kind of aggressively today?
Yeah, I think, well, the short covering is one thing. You can always point to that, but it was really in those deferred months, December and beyond, December up 312 points and back to 76.50. So I think, you know, if I look at it, I kind of look at the news that was coming out of China about the sow herd size. They have a five-year plan, 41 million sows. Okay, well, that's a lot of sows. Now, that's less than we've seen at their peak before, but it's not some massive cut back to 35, 37 million sows. So I think the market took that news and said, you know, what does that look like? 41 million sows, they've just come out of African swine fever. If you look at some of the photos of their facilities, they're state-of-the-art, they're hog hotels, they're gigantic corporate-type venues. you've got to think the pigs per litter is on the rise. So if you look at that, I just ran some quick numbers at 41 million, or I just did simple at 40 million. If they have a litter of 2 litters a year, eight per litter, that's 16, and then times 40, it's over 600 million hogs. If their litter size is 10, that's 800 million market hogs, let alone the 40. So that's a lot of feed usage. So that's why, from going back to the beginning of the show, it's like, I don't see that feed number all of a sudden. I know they had a record crop, or supposedly record crop, in China, corn this year. That's still a lot of feed, still a lot of hogs. But that 41 million is less than the 40. It was 42 to 43 was what people were expecting, the market was expecting. So all of a sudden it's a friendly number, and up $3 on the deferred contracts.
Definitely a lot of things to consider there. I know ASF worries, of course, closer to home, Haiti, getting it confirmed there. So, you know, we're watching that closely as well, Brian, here, and hoping it stays out of the U.S. I think that's another factor underneath this hog trade right now.
It's very unnerving. I was at the Commodity Classic a couple of years ago, when the last one we had before COVID, and I was talking to a veterinarian who really seemed to know their things about hogs. And unfortunately, they said, you know, it's not a matter of if, it's just when. Not very comforting. On the other hand, we haven't seen it yet. Getting a little closer to home, no real strong. I don't have any strong idea how the market would react to something like that. I don't know if that's incredibly bullish on limited supply, or the hog market's going to plunge. I guess I would, you know, when we saw that news in Haiti, I would encourage producers to really strategically have a balancing act. If you got good prices and you want to sell hogs, fine, then have calls bought against them, or buy puts against the hogs and leave the top side open, so that if we get some extreme moves one way or the other or both, you're in a position to manage it.
Looking at cattle today, again, a decent day there, and it sounded like looking for a friendly cattle on feed report tomorrow. That seemed to be maybe the catalyst there, maybe just some position squaring it looked like. Is that what you saw?
I think position squaring. I think the trade's expecting a supportive report. With the dry conditions we had, higher feed costs, you got to expect that either placements are down, or the cow herd size is down, or both. I don't know if the placements can be down a lot if you just don't have good pasture conditions. But there were some pickup rains here that maybe guys will try and stretch it out this fall a little bit. But I think as you look at the big picture, kind of the break in the cattle market, I think, has just been sort of the resurgence of COVID. And then cattle prices we talked about this before, maybe a little ahead of themselves. And when the market tipped over, probably ran a lot of stops. And the trade probably had a lot of algorithm-type trading where it was triggering those orders. And so they made a pretty healthy correction. You know, it's hard to always pick a bottom, but I think if demand at this price was as good as it was a couple of months ago, it's going to be here. We're going to see the market move back up. I am hearing the weather's been pretty good in September. Weight gain has been pretty good. So the cattle might pick up a few pounds just on September's kind of the ideal month. You usually don't have sloppy feed yards. You've got temperate conditions. Generally one of the better weight gain months of the year.
Brian, great insight as always. Any other final thoughts? Anything else you want to reiterate today?
Well, I think this week early on, again, gave us a little bit of taste how, you know, the world's getting smaller all the time, and how things in China affect us here at home, and maybe vice versa. So I think from a big picture perspective, we've got higher grain prices this year. Make sure and manage those and take advantage of it. We don't want some black swan event to come along and pull the rug out from under that. So think about things strategically and utilizing all of your marketing alternatives, or at least being aware of what they are, so that you're not sort of driving in one direction. I think that would be my advice moving into harvest. We know you're going to get really busy. The other thing, obviously, is, you know, take rest, keep it safe, you'll get it done.
Well, if folks need a little advice with all the tools and options they have out there, I know they can reach out to you and the team there at Total Farm Marketing. What's the best way to do that, Brian?
The best way, at least my preferred best way, is a phone call, 800-334-9779. Since I'm doing this, you can ask for me or anybody on the Brokerage Solutions team. I'm happy to spend a few minutes just listening. And if I have any thoughts that might bring some value to that that listening session, then we'll talk about it.
Definitely. And you can also find more at TotalFarmMarketing.com. Brian Doherty, thank you for joining us on this Thursday. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Always my pleasure, Jesse. Keep up the great work.
That's Brian Doherty with Total Farm Marketing, our guest today. Learn more at TotalFarmMarketing.com. We'll be back to wrap things up here for this Thursday on the way right after this.
Trains are everywhere. You should always expect one, even on private property. Only cross tracks at designated crossings that fit your equipment. If you don't fit, don't commit. Whatever you're operating, secure your load, raise your equipment, and avoid getting stuck or causing damage. Minimize distractions. Remember, noisy equipment drowns out the sound of a train. Unless you're crossing, always keep a safe distance from train tracks. Look, listen, live. For more info, go to oli.org.
Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least. But there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
As harvest begins, the American Seed Trade Association reminds farmers to be diligent in taking the proper precautions to ensure treated seed does not enter the domestic or export grain supply. When properly handled, seed treatments are an effective agronomic tool that provides seeds the necessary protection for a strong, healthy start. Completely remove all treated seed left in containers and equipment used to handle harvested grain and dispose of it properly. Always be careful to follow state and federal guidelines for proper handling, storage, and disposal of treated seed. For more information, visit seed-treatment-guide.com or contact your seed dealer.
And welcome back to Market Talk as we wrap things up here for this Thursday, September 23rd. Again, big thanks to our guest, Brian Doherty of Total Farm Marketing, for joining us here today. Always a pleasure to have him on the show. Again, decent strength in the grain markets today, led by that wheat market here as we just recap the final numbers today. Chicago wheat, December, 12 higher, 717 to 3/4. December KC wheat up 14, 720. December Minneapolis wheat up 8 at 911.5. On corn, December quart up 3 3/4, 529.25. March quart up 4, 537. November beans 1.5 higher, 1284.25. January beans up 2.25, 1294. Soybean meal, October down $1.30 a ton, 336.60. Bean oil for October up 71 points at 5710. Live cattle, October down 5, 123.22. December up 7, 128.62. September feeders up 10, 154.90. October hogs 90 higher, 84.75, and December up 312 at 76.50. That's going to do it for the show today. Coming up tomorrow, Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics, joins us for a Friday. He's normally on Wednesdays. We had to move things to Friday this week, so we're going to talk with Mike Zuzulo coming up tomorrow on the show. Have a great rest of your Thursday. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Jesse Allen, wishing you and yours a great rest of your day.